But what it really starts with is in your mind, when you look in the mirror and you say no, right? I'm done with that. I'm not going to comply. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to feed the beast. You know, every time you go to another medical doctor and you take another pharmaceutical drug and you accept another, you know, medical intervention, you know, drug or jab, until people say no inside their mind and inside their heart and say, I want something better. Okay, that is not good enough.
Welcome to Free Humanity. I'm inviting you to join us on the Road to Geneva, our exciting new campaign to resist the World Health Organization. The Road to Geneva campaign will culminate in a pan-European convoy that's going to converge outside the city of Geneva on Friday, the 31st of May, ahead of a peaceful rally outside the United Nations building on Saturday, the 1st of June. If you want to join us, head over to roadtogeneva.com. You'll find out about our latest convoy plans and the wider campaign to challenge the WHO, and I hope we'll see you on the road to Geneva. Welcome back to James Roguski here on the Free Humanity Podcast with myself, Dan Aston Gregory. Our third conversation, and perhaps our most important conversation around the World Health Organization's proposed pandemic agreement, pandemic treaty, pandemic accord, what's it called today? We'll discuss that. And the World Health Organization's amendments to the International Health Regulations 2005. Now, I contacted James to host this conversation today with this explicit purpose of really making it clear why we need to pay attention to what's happening. As we record this, it's approaching the final days of negotiation for the latest rounds of negotiations of the pandemic agreement. And then on the 16th and 17th of May, I believe it's the next round of negotiations on the international health regulations. So, James, let's get straight to this. We want to keep this sharp and punchy today. Why do people need to pay attention to this? You know, are we expecting further concessions along the way? Is this just going to peter away? Tell people why we need to. Why, James, why do we need to be paying close attention right now? Importantly,
I'll give you a sports analogy. Pick the sport of your choice. I'll say a marathon, right? And so if you bust out of the gate and you know you're ahead after two laps of the track and you claim victory, my goodness, are you going to look foolish? We're in a marathon. This is not going to be over at the end of May. The WHO is still going to be around. Big Pharma is still going to be around. All of the laws and everything that you have in your local, you know, city, county, state, province, nation, whatever it might be, those things are still there regardless of whatever is decided or put off with the proposed amendments to the International Health Regulations and the Pandemic Treaty. We have to run a marathon because the people that we're up against have been doing this for a century or more, okay? So what has been happening, you mentioned the word concessions, okay? And it made me smile, and you don't really know why I'm smiling, because what's being reported about what's going on are people who have just now started to pay attention. And they're observing things that actually happened over a year ago. And what has been happening for the last year is people have been, you know, beating a dead horse. All kinds of things are going on behind the scenes. And it starts with a fundamental set of misguided, you know, ill-advised ideas. The WHO, Big Pharma, the amendments, the treaty, they're all predicated on a fraudulent premise. They're saying that the poor nations of the world suffered because, you know, due to COVID, because they did not get enough pharmaceutical products, you know, pandemic-related products, diagnostics, drugs, and jabs. Now, if you just take a moment and you look at the facts on the WHO website, the poorer nations of the world actually did much better than the wealthy nations who used these diagnostics to generate a case-demic because, you know, the PCR test is not a diagnostic. Unfortunately, we can't ask Kerry Mullis because he passed away. But before he did, he said, do not use my process as a diagnostic. It does not diagnose disease. But yet the WHO wants to use that to enforce requirements upon people. And then you look at the jabs, which don't work. They don't stop infection. They don't stop transmission. They derange a person's immune system and actually increase the rates of disease, disability, death, both sudden and excess. And you have to stop and go, wait a minute, why are they negotiating to have, you know, billions of dollars come into their coffers to build geographically distributed manufacturing of pandemic-related products? We need to continue to challenge the core assumptions that swallowing poison and injecting poison and believing in fake tests that, you know, purport to tell people, I still don't know how people fell for, oh, you've got an asymptomatic case of some disease. That's called health, people, right? And so what I've been saying for quite some time is we don't need to reform the WHO. The WHO is doing the bidding of big pharma. They want investment to flow to poor nations to build out the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex because they didn't have the capacity and they missed out on jabbing a lot of black and brown people around the world the first time around. And they're going after them this time. They want investment from rich nations to flow through what they call FIFs, financial intermediaries. They want to launder all kinds of billions of dollars to head over into contracts to fill distribution hubs with products that require pandemics to rotate the stock out of storage so that new contracts can be assigned and more money can be made. What we need is to get out of the who and on with the new. And on with the new, you know, I'm speaking to you, you know, we need to focus on, wait a minute, that's all crazy. That's all insane. What is it that we want to do headed into the future? Starts with the road to Geneva. It starts with having a new view of, well, wait a minute, what is health? And health is not something that you inject into your arm or swallow with a pill. You know, health is much more complicated than the simplistic answers that doctors like to give. You know, oh, you've got some symptoms. Here's your prescription. You know, go take a poison or inject a poison. What we need is a vision for a new world where, you know, health is something that each individual person decides, you know, not one health, right? But one's health. What is it that's right for you? And you are the person who makes that decision.
Thanks, James. Yeah, and I think that's such an important point. And what you've done there, it's actually underscored for me two other of the main problems. Firstly, that and it's related. The other premise and core assumption that this is all built on is that naturally occurring pandemics are a regularly occurring thing. Now, I certainly don't remember anything like COVID in my lifetime. And if you look back through the history books, there's only been 3 to 4 what would be described as major pandemics within the last 100, 110, 120 years. Now, even if you look back through history, some of those early Spanish flu, for instance, you know, there's lots of discussion around the hygiene standards and what really happened there. But either way, we can discuss till the cows come home what quantifies as a pandemic. But this idea that there is this lurking disease X around the corner, that we have this pandemic of the future to prepare for, is, in my mind, the data just doesn't back it up. And in fact, we are becoming generally healthier in the Western world, at least. Although there are counter arguments to that I'm witnessing every single day. But the idea that we're going to see these future pandemics and in the imminent future naturally occurring that we need to prepare for is a flawed assumption. But the other related point to this, James, is the surveillance elements that's literally out of the blocks in the international health regulations, demanding that each nation increases their surveillance for potential viral outbreaks. Now, if you want to look for something, a needle in a haystack, and you employ an entire squad to go look for it, you'll find it. If you go for a walk in the woods and look for squirrels, you'll see squirrels. If you walk there with your eyes closed, you won't see any squirrels. But if you start looking for things, you'll find them. And lo and behold, your argument, James, is that if you start looking for new viral outbreaks in Africa or other parts of the world, all of a sudden you have a new emergency complex. So,
and you know, they're trying to speed up the process. They want to have an early action alert, you know, at the drop of a hat. Their new definition of a pandemic, which is in the amendments, would not require a single person to die to be able to declare a pandemic. So they're messing with words. They're essentially behaving as terrorists. False evidence appearing real, acronym is FEAR. If we allow ourselves to believe their stories, you take action that seems to make sense based on a false premise. So, you know, the biggest spreaders of mis, dis, and malinformation are the official, you know, governments and organizations and so forth and so on. But there's a fourth one that I want to add to that. And I've been witnessing this for quite some time, and that's old information. So what we all need to have is a flexible mind that is, you know, work on your power of discernment. Just because somebody said something, just because somebody said, oh, this is going good or this is going poorly, right? If you just take that and regurgitate it and believe it, you might be right, you might be wrong. Dig down in and see what is actually the source. I spend the vast majority of my time trying to discern, you know, truth from falsehood. And the vast majority of everything that's out there misses the nuance, misses the awareness that the reason why these negotiations are happening is because the poorer nations said, we want access to pandemic-related products on an equitable basis. Well, equity means money. And so what this is really boiled down to is they want a transfer of wealth so that the oligarchs in poor nations can profit from the next pandemic. They want to take, you know, poor people in rich nations through taxes and debt to pay for, you know, the profitability of the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex in nations that really have different priorities. So any single dollar of these tens of billions that are going to be redirected into laboratories looking for pathogens, they could be going towards, you know, pure water and good nutritious food and, you know, fundamental care for, you know, human needs. But instead, they're going to go into the pockets of high-tech companies doing things that really aren't going to improve the health of anyone. If anything, they've been shown to damage people's health. It's a misallocation of funds, energy, and effort, but it's also a misallocation of attention, right? This is not what you think it is. I challenge everyone, you know, when these new documents come out, read them. Read what is actually in them. You will be surprised. For this entire last year, what's in these documents is probably not what you think they are. And they're going to change, you know, from the time we record this until you watch it. There'll be a new document. So read it, understand it for yourself, and then watch how the news media talks about it. And I'm including the alternative media. And see if they get it right, or see if you're able to figure out for yourself that this is not what people have been saying it is. It's in many ways worse. And regardless of what happens with, you know, the WHO assembly at the end of May, the WHO is still there, and Big Pharma is still there, and everything else is still there. So, you know, don't be that runner who thinks it's the last lap and celebrates, you know, before they cross the finish line, and is passed by everybody who realizes that this is a marathon. This is not going to be over at the end of May. This is barely even getting started. So pay attention, get good information, and take action, because, you know, it's your life, it's your future. And if you don't make it a better world going off into the new, then who's going to do it for you? You know, we're working to make it better for everyone on the planet, but we need everyone to be involved, pushing back against what is clearly wrong. You know, the solutions that they offered over the last 4.5 years were not solutions. They were, you know, profit potential for them. And what they want to do is look for pandemic or pathogens with pandemic profiteering potential. None of this is for your health unless you stand up and get involved and chart a course into the future that you want to see, not the future that Big Pharma wants for you.
Oh, James, I think the penny really has to start dropping on this last point that you've underscored, because you mentioned it several times during this conversation. This conversation about pandemic preparedness, which is underpinning the premise for these documents, is the idea that we can prepare ourselves to avoid the damage of any future outbreak. Yet during the course of the last outbreak, the COVID chapter, there was no conversation about how you could improve your health. In fact, any conversation about how you could improve your health was censored, dismissed as disinformation. And you would have thought if we were talking about any future health outbreak that could affect the human population, we'd be talking about how do we build resilient humans? How do we actually become healthier? How do we actually take control of our own vitality? There is no conversation about that. In fact, the term health products, you talk about reading the documents, I read them regularly. They term health products. I mean, when I think about health products, I've got a lovely set of supplements upstairs, you know, to complement my diet and my everything else. That's what I think about as health products. But no, our health products in these documents are those injections that we've been talking about and all those various other pharmaceutical products. This to me is a pharmaceutical racket. And if the sooner people see this for what it is, you're absolutely right, James. The WHO isn't going to go away. Neither is the pharmaceutical industry. Neither is the pharmaceutical industrial complex. So we really do need to think forward on this. And to underscore our mission here, the road to Geneva, we see that as the opening ceremony to our future. This is just the beginning. We are on the road to freedom. We're on the road to our future. And this is the absolute starting blocks. And there's a long road ahead. So we must take, with that in mind, we can't have apathy now and sit back and relax. So I want to come to you to close out our conversation here today, James. What would you urge people at home to do today? Because it's very easy to sit back and think, well, those guys are doing something about it. You know, what would you urge people at home to do right now to help tackle this issue?
Every individual person has different skills and different capabilities. Some people are artistic. Some people are musical. Some people like to do research. You know, use your own personal skills and desires and passions to push back on this however is best for you. I always give my phone number. Anybody can call me, 310-619-3055. The pushback part of it, you know, you can go to exitthewho.org, and I've worked with people around the world to get some core information. But what it really starts with is in your mind, when you look in the mirror and you say no, right? I'm done with that. I'm not going to comply. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to feed the beast. You know, every time you go to another medical doctor and you take another pharmaceutical drug and you accept another, you know, medical intervention, you know, drug or jab, until people say no inside their mind and inside their heart and say, I want something better. Okay. That is not good enough. It is not the path to health. I'm looking for a new way off into the future. When enough people come to that awareness that what these folks are selling, you're not buying, okay? And you seek other things, you will find that there is an infinite world of possibility out there to optimize, improve, and if you've lost your health, to regain it. But it starts inside here and in your heart. Until you've made that decision and you've walked away, our nations won't walk away. But when everybody leaves mentally, it will just wither on the vine and die, and our nations will leave and the WHO will crumble because they're not for your health. They're trying to redistribute wealth in their direction. And they're not asking you for your opinion. And that should tell you everything you need to know.
Thank you, James. I'm going to take that baton using the sporting analogy we've done to give you a quick plug for the road to Geneva. That's exactly what we're going to Geneva to do on the 1st of June. We're going to say powerfully no to the WHO and the pharmaceutical industrial complex. And we're going to say yes to our freedom and yes to our future. So if you're not yet aware of the campaign, head over to roadtogeneva.com. Come and join us in Geneva. We've got a pan-European convoy. So wherever you're based in Europe, there's a route for you to come and join us. If you're in the rest of the world, do support along. This is an international campaign. It's an international issue. And we all have a role to play. And if you'd like to volunteer some of those skills that James mentioned, we also have space in our core team to help us make this campaign happen. So thanks so much again, James, for being with us today. Powerful conversation. Take action today. Join us at theroadtogeneva.com, and together we can create change. Thanks very much.